Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Vic podcast. We're here today to do an opposition view, as when we record on this Wednesday, we are playing Preston North End on Saturday, the 16th of December. And here to join me is a Preston fan, Jack. Jack, thank you very, very much for joining me tonight. How's everything with you? You all good?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm, keeping well, looking forward to Christmas. How about yourself?
Yeah, likewise. I'm definitely looking forward to the masses of football that's on over Christmas. So, ones that preferably don't involve Watford stressing me out. But we're obviously here to talk about the Preston-Watford game. Let's dive straight into it with Preston. Just looking back on last season, because we actually finished on identical points. We finished 11th, you finished 12th. 63 points, 6 points adrift of the playoffs in the end. How was last season seen as a whole? Because the only reason I ask that is you had quite a start. Was it like something like the first eight games you didn't concede a goal or something? We were one of those teams you played, and we played out 2-0 draws. But I seem to remember you had a really good start. So with that in mind, how was finishing sort of mid-table seen?
Yeah, it was a bizarre start because as good as the start was, because we didn't concede, like you say, for eight games, I think we only won two of those games, possibly. But it was a really, really difficult sort of period for us to score goals. But equally, it was a fantastic period. I think we broke a record that had been lasting for like 50, 60 years. So it was a fantastic start defensively, but offensively, we weren't scoring enough goals. And I think the record of us last year was 45 goals in 46 games, which... if you want to get into the top six, you want to be in that sort of playoffs in the summer, you need to be able to score more goals than that. And we didn't score as many goals as we would have liked. We were okay defensively. But I think coming into the season, most North End fans would have said if there was three games left and we had a chance, an outside chance of making the top six, they probably would have taken it, because our budgets lie differently to the likes of yourselves, who have had parachute payments and years of being in the Premier League. So I think coming away from the season, despite us being level, I think North End fans will have been a lot more positive about the season compared to yourselves, where expectations may have been higher. And of course, our rivals got relegated, where your rivals went on at their best season in donkey years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite interesting you've said that, actually, saying that going into the last three games, you were still sort of looking and possibly in the hunt, because last season for us, we weren't looking at it like that at all. Like, we weren't looking at it thinking, well, we only just missed out. We were like, that was one of the worst seasons we could have endured. You know, lots of managers as usual, lots of injuries, players not looking like they give a crap, to be honest. Talking of managers, you've still got Ryan Lowe in charge. Now, he's got a record of 98 games, and he's won 38, drawn 26, and lost 34. What's the general feel throughout Preston fans of the job he's doing at the moment, or has done since he came in?
I think he's done the sort of job that you'd have expected, following in the footsteps of Alex Neil and Simon Grayson, who kind of stabilised North End. And every year, I mean, I think this is our ninth year of being in the Championship now, continuously, and we've not been in a relegation battle in any of them. We've not been looking over our shoulder. And in a couple of those seasons, we've been thinking, yeah, we're going to make the top six. So we've got an outside chance. I think we finished 7th, 9th, 12th last year. We finished 11th two times under Simon Grayson. Obviously, right now, we're 7th in the league. So I think as a North End supporter, because we've kind of come up from League One and we're quite a well-run club in terms of financially, we don't bring in the calibre of players that, you know, the likes of Leicester have, or even the likes of yourselves and Norwich have, who have been in the Premier League a couple of years ago. So to be a North End fan, I think all you want from your team is to see that they are competing week in, week out, which under Ryan Lowe has been an interesting one, because points tally-wise, it's been pretty decent. Like I say, last year, finishing 12th, being 7th in the league, that's overachieving for North End if you compare it to where the budget lies. But I think what's upset a lot of fans is that when we were losing under Alex Neil, and when we were losing under Grayson, because we were finishing same places as where Lowe has us, we were getting beat marginally, where there has been quite a few heavy defeats under Ryan Lowe. 4-0 a couple of weeks ago against Middlesbrough. I think got beat 4-1 against Blackburn in his first year in charge as well. So there has been quite a few heavy defeats along the way that I've kind of banished in the back of my mind, so they're not coming to me straight away. But I think that has upset a few North End fans, and you're always going to get your portion of North End fans that every time you lose a couple, they're going to want the manager sat. That's football for you. You know, some people react emotionally, that some people would love to be, will probably go for a pint with your owner because they would probably go through four managers a season as well. But I think the more, I wouldn't say sensible minded, but the more less emotive minded would appreciate the work that Ryan Lowe is doing. And ultimately, North End is 7th in the league, 1 point off the playoffs right now, nearly at the halfway stage. It's been a good season, and it was a really good start to the season. We had a bit of a dip. We won last night. So Ryan Lowe is pretty well liked at North End, but I think it's fair to say that perhaps he isn't as well loved as maybe some from the outside looking in would think he would be loved, because we aren't performing to the certain level every single week. We're scabbing a lot of results. We're getting beaten heavily at times, but at the end of the day, you get judged on results, and we're 7th in the league, and that's good for North End.
Well, absolutely. That you've sort of answered the next question, really. You know, you've, from the outside looking in, you have started the season well. I know you said there's been a couple of hefty defeats in there, but you know, you won last night, as you say, against Huddersfield. You're 7th place, just a point outside the playoffs. In terms of, you've mentioned how the last few seasons, you know, you've come close with the playoffs and everything else. What's the sort of feel around the camp in terms of expectation for this season? Are you happy to maybe finish just outside the playoffs again? Do you want to make that step further and think, no, you know what? Why can't we go and compete in the playoffs? Or what's the feel around where you want to be come the end of the season, realistically?
Well, Peter Ridsdale, who basically runs the club, kind of came in a couple of weeks ago during the international break and said that the first target is always survival. Which is fair enough. I don't think anyone's ever thinking, you know, let's get 21st, 20th. But the first thing is survival, because, you know, we're not one of the biggest spenders in the league. But I think other than maybe the first three seasons that we've been in the Championship, the two under Grayson, the first one under Neil, I'm pretty sure every fan's expectation will have been, let's be in and around mid-table towards the periphery of the playoffs. No, if we get top six, it's a fantastic season. We haven't been in the Championship playoffs since Alan Irvine 14, 15 years ago. So it would be a massive achievement for us to get into top six. But just to be in and around there, you know, be between 14th to 7th and going into the last few weeks of the season, you've got a chance. And that's what Neil always used to say. If you're in and around the playoffs when you come up to March and April, then you've got a real chance. And I think that's the expectation, that the hope is top six. You're never going to, unlikely to get top two But we're not expecting us to be in the bottom eight of the division. We do have a decent caliber of squad of players now, but I definitely think that the expectation is probably mid-table and try and get as close as possible to the top six, and then anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there, you know, you've not been in the playoffs since under Alan Irvine. I remember the season that we went up in 05-06, the playoffs was Watford, Crystal Palace, Leeds and Preston. And quite a while ago now. So it will be interesting to see how you do from the outside, because for me personally, I always love to see a team that you don't quite expect to get in the playoffs. So a few seasons ago, it was Barnsley under Valerian Ismail. And you guys have sort of been knocking on the door. So hopefully someone might answer this time round, but hopefully we sneak in there as well. But in terms of Preston against Watford then, I know the last season, two absolutely bore fests, 0-0. Have you got any memories of any games between us that sort of stick out, or have you sort of pushed them to the back of your mind as well? Because granted, I'm trying to think now, maybe I have to go back quite a few. Well, in fact, maybe in lockdown for me was probably, but for yourself, have you got any that stick out?
Well, it's funny you say that the two 0-0s were borefests, and they were, admittedly. Mm. But I always say one of my favourite memories as a football supporter, as a Preston supporter, is watching that home game. Because I went in August to climb Kilimanjaro, and we've gone to Tanzania, and this is before we've climbed, so like the day before. And it's a 3 o'clock kickoff, wasn't it? So it wasn't on TV. So if you're in England, you can't watch it. Yeah. And we're thinking, oh, well, we'll just go to a bar and I'm sure they'll get like some dodgy stream for a Premier League game. One of the lads, we're all North End supporters. One of the lads is like, no, we'll get Preston Watford on. So we've gone to this Tanzanian bar, and like it's a real like sort of poor sort of bar. They can barely speak English, but we're like showing them the badge of Preston Watford, and like they brought in like a whole new TV, they plug in stuff in, and somehow about 10 minutes late, so 10 minutes into the game, bloody Preston Watford's playing in this bar in the middle of Tanzania, oh, where there's about 200-300 like Africans there. We're all with them, we're all watching it, like all having a beer, all having a laugh, like chatting to a few of them. And we're watching Preston Watford instead of all the Premier League games that were on. So the main game that was on, Preston Watford. And I don't think they were inviting us back because, like you say...
I was going to say, yeah. I wonder if they've shown any Preston and Watford since, but that is absolutely brilliant. If I ever go to Tanzania, I'll be sure to pop my head in. And hopefully, he'll stick the game on. Like I say, you know, last season for us especially, I think... We, like I mentioned at the start, we were one of those games, the eight games where you didn't concede. So I certainly felt like it was very much, right, you know, we're on this run where we're not conceding. Keep that up. Defensively, sound, no problem. But I felt like it was almost like Ryan Lowe had sort of said to the players, shoot on sight. There are very long-range efforts. We had Raymond Eye, who's now playing God knows where in some European country, who missed an absolute, you know, belter of a chance. And then the home game as well. I think the home game was one of the games where I think Slaven Bilic, that was the first sort of one where murmurs were that he was going to be sacked, or he might have been sacked after that. I'm not sure. As you can imagine, I lose track when we sack managers quite. Mm-hmm. In terms of Watford's at the moment, you know, we lost last night narrowly to Ipswich, and we're sort of doing similarly in terms of points per game, etc. Who do Watford need to look out for when we come to deep down on Saturday? Have you got one particular player? I know you said results have been a bit inconsistent at the moment, but is there one player where you just look forward to watching him play, and he normally gives the opposition a bit of a headache?
Well, the man that stands out is our captain, Alan Brown, who's been with us, I think, 10 years now. Basically, a one-club man. He joined us from Cork City in 2014. So he's coming up to 10 years in January when he joined us. And he's dipped in and out over previous seasons. His probably best spell previously was when he was playing behind the striker, and he had Hugh Gill in front of him, Callum Robinson on the left, and Aidan McGeady on the right. But this season's probably the best version of Alan Brown we've seen. He's kind of taken the mantle. He's kind of taken that leadership role. He's playing with more energy than ever before. In a lot of games this season, when we get the best out of him is when we're playing him higher up as well. And he's playing like a man possessed at times. He got our opening goal last night. He could have had two penalties, two goals within the first 10 minutes. He's just an absolute engine. You know, he never stops running. He's really energetic. He's not the greatest. I'm probably doing a bit of a disservice there by saying he's not the greatest on the ball, but he's not the sort of player that, you know, is going to keep hold of it and retain it. He's one of those that when he gets on the ball, he drives forward, maybe a bit of a like a old school sort of Frank Lampard. You know, he's got that engine. He's a box to box player. So I think if there's any player that you kind of should watch out for this weekend, it's probably him, because he's been our star man. But it's safe to say, even in those years where he hasn't done as well, he's still been one of the key men, and he's our captain, which, you know, even though he's not a Prestonian and he's Irish, it's everyone wants that sort of player for the team that's played for them for 9-10 years, and everyone loves him. You know, everyone yesterday on Twitter was just going, let's build him a statue. All the songs were about him. Everyone loves him.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to what we had with Troy before he left and completely fucked his reputation up for going on a podcast. But hey ho. It's quite interesting as well, just looking through your squad list. You obviously got Will Keane. He's your top goal scorer, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's on 5. Our top goal scorer is only on 7. He's someone that we were linked with as well. I know Ched Evans at the moment, he's had a bit of a bizarre injury. So I don't know if there's a time frame being put on when he might be back, but it's basically repetitive sort of damage to his body over the years of playing football, it sounds like. It's like I say, it's very bizarre. One man as well I'm quite interested. I had a look before we come on, and he sort of only gets minutes here and there, but in terms of Robbie Brady, I know he's obviously getting on a bit. Does he just not fit the way that Ryan Lowe plays? Because on his day, he's got one hell of a delivery. And one thing, especially with Watford, I do worry about is set pieces in general. And having someone like Robbie Brady in your squad, you definitely, you know, could do us damage. And you've got Patrick Bauer at the back again. I don't know if he's playing much. He's quite a big lump of a defender. And Calvin Ramsey as well. So that sort of worries me a little bit. Is Brady playing at all, or...?
He's not playing as much as he did last year. I remember, I think it was that game at home last year. I'm pretty sure he played that game. And I'm pretty sure I came away saying he was one of our better players that game. And he played quite a large spell of last season. But this season, he's not had the best of years. He got a sending off a few weeks ago. 2 silly yellow cards, really, that he picked up. He's making silly mistakes as well. And we've seen more of 18-year-old Kean Best, who is from Preston, that's kind of just come in out of nowhere. He's played for the England under-19s in the recent international break, and he's a very similar player to Brady. So, like, when you said, is he not suiting Lowe's style of play? I think Brady is the sort of player that suits Lowe's style of play. He's an attacking fullback. He likes to whip balls in. He likes to get crosses in early as well. But I don't know what it is with him, because I think right at the start, and I was well on board with them giving him another new contract when they did it in the summer, but I think it's fair to say he's been one of our weak links this season when he has played, giving the ball away cheaply. Like I say, he's just not showing that sort of quality that, you know, you can see from Robbie Brady. But he's 31 years old now, so he's coming to the latter stages of his career. So I'd expect, actually, on Saturday that we'll play Liam Miller, who's on loan from Basel, used to be at Liverpool, Canadian international. I expect he will play left wing back. He was brilliant last night. If you get a chance, check out the second goal against Huddersfield, the way he's created the goal. And then he's just played it a through ball for Will Keane, just to slot into the back of the net. But he was dynamite last night.
And in terms of giving maybe Watford fans a little bit of hope, what areas do you think Watford can exploit on Saturday?
I don't want to give away too much information. I think the way I was talking about this on the way back from the game last night, I think the way Ismail used to play, like that he became accustomed to when he was Barnsley manager, when he's West Brom manager, sort of, you know, coaching off the ball, kind of getting the ball into and the forward areas and using a lot of pressing, which we haven't really seen at Watford. It's been a bit more of a slow sort of possession-based style, I believe.
Yeah.
I would say the slow possession-based style suits North End more because North End aren't a great team on the ball. I think we're 22nd for most possession. So we don't like having the ball, and we've struggled at home when a team has come and gone. They set off and go, right, it's your job to break us down. And we don't really have that creativity in the squad. We're not the most creative side. We're very much a side that is pretty decent off the ball. We can press well. We can defend deep on the edge of our box. But Watford, if you come to us and try and play like a slow possession-based style, I think we'll enjoy that with the home crowd. Hopefully we'll get a decent crowd with us coming up to Christmas now. I think North End will enjoy that. But if Ismail wants to play a bit more direct, because I know I don't think you're anywhere near the top of like the possession metrics. I think you're 7th or 8th. I was looking at it before. So you're not like as possession dominant as maybe a Southampton are. But if he wants to be a bit more direct and play into, is it Ravajic up top?
Yeah, Rajovic. This is one problem we're having at the moment. Unless you put it on a plate for him in the anywhere between sort of the 6 and 12 yard line, he doesn't do anything. Like he won't press or he seems reluctant to press. His hold up play is virtually non-existent. He tries to link it up as much as he can, but he lives off scoring from those out swinging crosses. So I mean, in terms of having a forward that might press, we've got Vaku Mbayo. Would you say, if we were to come and maybe bring that high press and that high energy, do you think North End would deal with that well? Is that something you seem well equipped to do with? Or
yeah, I mean, I think Lowe will be prepared to not have much of the ball. Because like you say, Watford have favoured having possession of the ball more than North End have, and Watford, despite your position in the table, and maybe your expectations have been lowered this year because it's a bit of like a rebuilding job.
Yeah.
I still think Lowe will think a draw at home against Watford is a good result because you have some quality players in that starting 11. And man-to-man, if you are, you know, picking out who costs more, who's on more wages or who's played at a higher level, Watford would beat North End in, I imagine, a good 8, 9, maybe 10 or 11 man-to-man positions if you're comparing the two starting 11s on Saturday. So I think Lowe will be prepared to sit off. But as I say, if Watford kind of come with a different game plan and kind of sit off themselves and force us to play, then I think that will suit yourselves more.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it could be either, you know, quite a frustrating day. We went to Huddersfield. I don't know how many games ago now. I've tried to forget it as best as I can. And it was whilst they were on this terrible run of not being able to win or pick any points up. And we went there and it was just very slow. A bit like England's in the fact they'd get the ball forward, think, oh, is this an opportunity? No, we'll go back to the goalkeeper and start again. And I think the last few games we've sort of seen the tempo rise a bit, you know, narrowly lost to Ipswich, who won a hell of a team. I think them and Leeds so far, who we've faced, I think they stand out for me. Leicester, for me, just didn't do it for me. I think the reason that they are where they are is because of the quality they've got. They can afford to be shit because they've got the quality players. But, you know, we definitely went toe-to-toe with Ipswich, which, you know, a lot of teams would absolutely take, and we were very lucky to come away with no points. But it sounds like it could be quite a frustrating day, and Watford don't travel well. We beat Hull away recently a couple of weeks ago, and then we beat Swansea away, I want to say, in November. I could be wrong, November or October it was, and that was our first away win in 297 days. So we really don't travel well. So it'll be interesting to see how we're going to set up, because last night was evident as well that we need to ring the changes because some of the players look absolutely knackered. Now, we usually finish by asking for a score prediction. So firstly, are you going to the game on Saturday?
I wish I was. I'm going to Mexico. So I'm actually, it's a 10-hour flight. So I was asking my, I'm going with my girlfriend, and I was asking her whether she thinks there'll be any Wi-Fi on the plane, because on these like long distance flights, I know sometimes they do have like Wi-Fi or whatnot. Mm. And she was like, "Why is it to watch the football?" And I was like, "Yeah, or just keep following the score. Well, I just want to keep following the score, because, like I say, even though I work sometimes." Sometimes I work on a Saturday, so I can't get to all the North End games. I'm pretty sure that I always make sure that I've got the 3 p.m. slot available, so I can always watch a North End game. So I think this is one of the first ones I haven't watched, whether it be on TV or at the game. So I'm going to be in Mexico, so I'm going to arrive at about 7 p.m. English time. So I'm going to straight away see the score, and I'm hoping for a positive one.
And what score are you going for?
I'm going to go 1-1. I think it'll be a tight game.
Yeah, to be honest, that's what I'm sort of leaning more towards, a 1-1, definitely. Like I say, we don't win much away. I never feel as positive away as I do at home. You know, we could be playing bottom of the league away and I'd still go there with my doubts. But at home, I just think we're a completely different animal. So it'll definitely be interesting, bearing in mind what you've said. We usually sign off with a game, but I must admit the game that we usually play is asking if the opposition fan can name as many players that have played for both. But I've done a bit of research, and firstly, the website that I use didn't want to give Watford and Preston. And then secondly, after I did some research, it seems like there's only one anyway, and that was Joe Garner. So it doesn't look like there was any others. So it would have been a bit of a waste of time anyway. But I really appreciate you coming on tonight, Jack. Like I say, I wish you all the best. One of my best mates from Birmingham's a big Preston fan, so I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Preston North End. And other than the two games, I really hope it goes well for you guys this season, and maybe it won't be too long before you're knocking on that door for the playoffs.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And the same to yourselves. And I hope that Valerian Ishmael gets the time at Vicarage Road, unlike so many before him. Because I'm a manager lover, like I'm obsessed with football managers, and Watford for me are the most infuriating club to follow. Because as soon as you go on a bad run, it's like right, chopping axe, and it's like, and even Ishmael's not doing that great of a job this year, but it's nice and it's refreshing to see that. He's getting a bit of time, a bit of stability, because that's what you desperately need.
Absolutely, and considering the amount of sackings in the Championship so far, and we've not been one of them. So, hopefully, you know, we know that there's a rebuild on the go, and these things take time. And it looks like we're giving him the players he wants to suit his style of play, and we're giving him the time that he needs. And if there's going to be a bad run of results, let him ride it out. And hopefully we'll reap the benefits from that. But appreciate you coming on tonight, and thank you guys for watching this video. Remember, if you like it, don't forget to drop a like on the bottom of the video. Don't forget to hit subscribe as well, and leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. But we'll be back on Sunday. I don't know who yet. We'll have to decide that. But like I said, myself and Cam are going to the game, so it might well be myself and Cam. But we'll be back on Sunday to review the Preston North End game. But till then, stay safe, everyone. Take care, and come on, you Orns. Sports Social Podcast Network.